All right, our reading is taken from Matthew chapter number 5, starting at verse number 6. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Amen.
Amen.
Now I want you to turn and look at your neighbor. You ain't got to grab him by the hand. Just look at your neighbor. Find a neighbor and just look at him square in the eye. Look at him and let him know I'm looking at you. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, neighbor, desire. Neighbor, desire. Amen. You may be seated. I know y'all done heard I've had y'all say the neighbor part, and you said desire, and you was looking to say something else. And then I said neighbor, you're like, oh Lord, another one of them one words, huh? But yes, it is. It's another one of them one words. As long as God has and holds me doing these things, guess what? I got to step outside my own box. Amen. But we have entitled our message this morning, Desire. You see, when we look at the Beatitudes, is part of the what we call the Sermon on the Mount, which goes from chapters 5, 6, and 7. Some people have made the misconception of thinking that Jesus just preached from verse 2 on to the end of chapter 7. I want you to know that's not how it went. Well, what happened was when Matthew was writing this all down, what he did was he just compiled all the stuff that Jesus had been teaching them, and it just happens to fall between chapters 5 to 7. Because when you go back and you look at the scripture, when you look at verse number 1 and leading into verse number 2, it says that Jesus dismissed the people, took his disciples up into the mountain, had them sit down, and it specifically says he began to teach them. So it wasn't like he was teaching a whole bunch of folk. He was teaching those who would go to the highways and the byways to share the word of God. So he took this time out to teach them. And the first thing that we see that Matthew mentions is the Beatitudes. And the Beatitude that we are going to focus on today is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That's where we got the title, Desire. But what Jesus did, he basically was hitting home with utilizing words that the people at this time could relate. Because when you look at two words that I want to pull from there initially. He says two words, hunger and thirst. And when we look at those two words, that, you know, that was a reality back then. During the time of Christ, there were a lot of hungry people. And we know during that time, they didn't have a sophisticated irrigation system where all you had to do, Brother Simpson, was to go to a faucet and turn it on and expect the good, get good cleaning water to drink. That's what we all expect today. Just like the folk in Flint, Michigan, every time they turned their faucets on, they expected to get good, clean. But during the time of Christ, folk had to search out the wells and had to hope that the water that was in the well was good, clean water. As far as food go, that was, if you had no money, you couldn't eat. So many folk would travel miles to go and find food, or especially after the harvest had come through, they would go back and glean through crops to see what they can find to feed themselves and to feed their family. Some of y'all know about this gleaning process because some of y'all grew up in rural America. You know, in rural America, you know how they come through and they go through the crops and get all the sweet potatoes out. You just go back behind them and see and dig and see if there's any more left up in the ground. I know you ain't got to do that no more. I know you're big money right now, but you ain't always been big money. I know you can eat whatever you want right now, but there was a time you was happy just to get a piece of the fat back when you got your bowl of beans. I know we've come a mighty long way. I know God has blessed us. I know he brought us a long way. I know there was a time that you thought it wasn't nothing on the chicken but the back. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. Other folk don't know nothing but the feet on the chicken, but I want you to understand. The Lord has brought us a mighty. Oh, Lord. I know you're eating high off the hog now. You don't want to see no more chitlins or trotters. All you want is the pork shoulder and the pork butt and the ham or the tenderloin. You see, God has brought us. Okay, I digress. Let me get back. I got to get back. I'm sorry. We have to see that during this time, folk were hungry. So he was using this analogy with them. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be what? Filled. Now, can I come and mess with you for a minute? I want you to see something here. This right here is a table. And on this table is some food. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples is that, you know what? I got food on the table for you. But the reality is, are you hungry for it? I got drink on the table for you. Are you thirsty for it? You see, so many folk come to church hungry and thirsty. And when they leave church, they leave the same way. But then they're going to blame, oh, you know, that preacher ain't really preach. That choir ain't really sing. Them folk that prayed, they really wasn't praying about nothing. So, you know, I just couldn't get connected with the service. Well, I want you to understand something, my brother and my sister. If you are waiting on somebody to prime your pump, I want you to know you'll leave the same way you came in. If you don't bring nothing, you're going to leave with. Oh, somebody going to work with me today. You see, can I preach for a few minutes? I know I got to preach one more time today, but I'm just a little excited. Is that all right? You see, but what we got to see here is that we as a people of God have to have a desire.
Yes, sir.
Because on the table is everything that we need to quench our thirst and to fill our belly. But there's something you got to see. You see, back during this time in Palestine where they were and Jesus was talking to them, I want you to know that folk who were hungry and thirsty had to make a decision. Everybody say decision with me. They had to make a decision. You know what the decision was, Reverend Dab? Is whether or not they were going to live. The decision they had to make was whether they were going to live or die. You see, if they don't find the table with the food, if they don't look for the table with the food, they're going to die. But if they want to live, they got to find, they got to seek, they got to move from where they are in order to be fed. So what Jesus was saying to his disciples, he says, you know what? You want to be blessed? Then do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Because that's how you're going to be blessed.
Yeah.
And as you make the decision to do that, then you will be full. But touch your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Don't get it twisted.
You see, Sister Feast, so many folk think that once I know the scripture one time, I ain't got to go back and read it no more. Once I got it once, I don't need to hear that no more. I got it all figured out. I got it all down packed now. Oh, really? You got folk who spend their entire lives studying the word of God. But let me just use this scripture to help you understand. You know what, Mike? When you sit down and get you a good meal that consisted of some steak, I didn't say chicken that time. Some potatoes. Some a nice salad on the side. cornbread or rolls, tall glass of iced tea, not Long Island, regular iced tea. Oh, some of y'all didn't have them Long Islands. Y'all laugh, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So when you sit there, Mike, and you had that good meal, after you have that good meal, do you get hungry again? Shanice, once you've had a tall glass of water to quench your thirst, do you get thirsty again? We all know the answer to that. Invite somebody to come stay with you for a week. And you feed them one good meal on the first day they get here. And don't make no more food for them. Reverend Davis, I just wonder how good that'll go over. But that's how some folk treat church. I come once. I done got what I need. I done a one and done. There ought not to be a child of God that believes in a one and done. We have a desire to grow in the knowledge and understanding of our Lord and Savior. We want to be better today than what we were on yesterday. And if you don't have a desire to have a hunger to want to know more about Jesus, then how is the Lord going to fill you back up? You got to want to be filled. Because if you want to be filled, verse number 6 starts off with what word, y'all? Blessed. Is there anybody in here that don't want to be blessed? Is there anybody in here that want to go back to how your life was before Jesus? Is there anybody here who was just happy when the enemy was kicking your butt? You were so tore up from the floor. Nobody wanted nothing to do with you. Whenever they saw you, all they did was whisper after you walked by. But look at what? Look at what the Lord has done. Other folk had counted you out. Other folk had dismissed you. Other folk just wrote you off. But it was God's grace and mercy that stepped in right on time. Because you had a desire. Because you had a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And what did the Lord do? He filled you. And you realize that you can go a little while with that. But you know what? Our bodies is just like our cars. The more you ride it, the more fuel it's going to burn. And eventually you got to stop back past the gas station to fill it back up again. Because if you don't fill it back up again, Brother Whitehead, when that thing hits E and that light come on, eventually that car's going to shut down. Oh. Then we wonder why so many frustrated folk are in church. Because you ain't stopped by the filling station. You ain't stopped to let the Lord fill you back up again. All you did was stop by, give God away, but you never came to the table. You never came to get what you need. Because you came hungry, you came thirsty, but you didn't eat. And since you didn't eat, don't get mad at the preacher. Don't get mad at nobody else. The biggest mistake you can make is you come to church on fire, Sister Doris, ready to praise God. But as you walk in, you say good morning to somebody. They look at you grunt and just keep walking. Now you got two ways of looking at that. You see, if you just think about what they did to you, and then all of a sudden you get tight-faced, then I want you to know you ain't going to come to the table and what? You're going to sit back there wondering, I don't know why they ain't speak to me. I ain't done a thing to them. Well, guess what? You let them stay in their own mess, because I came to church to be blessed. I came to church to eat. I came to church to get full. I came to church so that the Lord can anoint me, empower me, and guide me, And if I let you get and mess my up what God is showing me, I ain't got nobody to blame.
That's right. That's right.
So when we come up in here, we want to come to the table. Because everything we need, it's on the
table.
All the food is on the
table.
All the drink is on the
table.
So why are you starving? We got three folk today that's supposed to get ordained as deacons. Do you have a desire? Or is it a one and done? Because if it's a one and done, it will not be any fun. But you'll find yourself on the run. Do I need to say it again? Good, because I couldn't remember what I just said. Are you following me? You see, because the one thing that you want to be, if you about to come up here and we're going to lay hands on you, you ain't doing a one and done. We ain't going to lay hands on you but one time. But that doesn't mean that's all you get. You see, because you want the Lord to keep his hand on you. Because God's hand is an unchanging hand. It's a hand that heals. It's a hand that delivers. It's a hand that sets you free. And if you have a desire and you thirst for hunger and righteousness, the Lord going to make a way. So all of us have come here for the sole purpose that we can be blessed. The tragedy of the church is when folk come to church and they don't know how blessed they are. The tragedy of the church is when folk leave church and don't realize that they just were blessed. I ain't talking about me because it ain't about me. It's all about Jesus. All I am is the tool that the Lord is using. I am not all that a bag of chips, a shake, and two sodas on the side. I know I ain't all that. Okay, I got to use the analogy I used this morning. Y'all pray for me. All right, I'm about to use it. You know, before I was saved, back when I was a teenager, that's right, that's right. Because the last time I did this is all when I turned 19 years old. And ever since then, I haven't done it since. But back then, brother used to smoke some reefer. Can I just be real with you? And you know, if you smoke enough reefer, what happens to you? You get the... Oh, somebody else done smoked some reefer up in here, too. You get the munchies. Come on now, work with me. Don't get lost. Come on, come on. Come on back, don't get lost. I'm taking you somewhere. You see, I don't mind being transparent to you. You can sit there and talk about me all you want. But I know what the Lord has done for me. I know where he brought me from. I know how he changed. And he ain't just do it for me. He did the same thing for you. But all right, come on, calm down. You got to hear the rest of the story because you're going to see how it makes sense. One of the times, you know, I was sitting there, we were getting high. And after we got high, we went to my aunt's house. And Deacon Aldridge, my aunt, was up in there frying chicken. And y'all know back then when folk was frying chicken, wasn't no such thing as no deep fried chicken. You know how we put it deep fry and just drop it in? Yeah. See, you know, she had about a half an inch of oil in the frying pan. Yeah. You fry it real good. Then you flip it.
That's
fry
right.
It on the other side.
That's right.
And as soon as she took that chicken out the frying pan and put it on that paper towel, I had it up to my mouth. Trying to eat it as fast as she was cooking it. She looked at me and said, boy, I know what you was doing. You see, I had the munchies. I had a desire to eat. Because you know what? The munchies, I mean, when you smoke enough reef, it's going to make you hungry. Make you a little thirsty. So that's called munchies. But I want you to know every child of God ought to have spiritual munchies. Or somebody gonna work with me. We all ought to have some spiritual munchies. I know you might get hung up on the word munchies, but what I'm saying is that you ought to have a desire to want to know more and come and feast at this table. Because what's on this table is gonna get you through another day, another week, another year. I want you to know when you come and feast upon the word of God, you know what he's gonna do? He gonna fill you.
Oh yeah.
And when the Lord fills you, because you know he's been good to you, you have some fuel to go out and share the good news with somebody else and let them know, I serve a God who will heal and deliver you. I serve a God who will move you from a nothing to a something. I serve a God who will remove the taste of wanting to get high from you. I serve a God who will turn your life around. I serve a God who will pick you up off that curve. I serve a God who will do a great thing in your life. But in order for him to do it, you got to want to come to the table.
That's right. Come to the table and eat.
Because everything I need is on the table. So if I don't come to the table, then I'm asking you the question. You must don't have spiritual munchies.
That's right.
Because every child of God ought to have a desire to be better today than what I was on yesterday. That's why we stay hungry, y'all. That's why we stay thirsty, y'all. Because no matter how full we get, we still find ourselves falling short over here and over there. So that's why we got to stay hungry. Because I want you to understand, if the first time I hear you say, I got it all together, I'm moving away. Because as long as you're walking here on this earth, every step you take ain't a good step. Every shoe you put on ain't necessarily shine. Your hair ain't always the way you want it to be. Your attitude might not always be the way you want it to be. So that's why we continue to come to the and feast upon the word, because the word has the meat and the drink in it.
That's right.
So, the question is, do you have the desire to want to be better, to do better? Do you have the desire that when you come to church, you ain't sitting there looking at some folk? I just can't believe they came to church looking like that. She could have did that baby's hair better than that. Oh, Lord, her whole back is out in that chair, in that blouse. Lord, look at the shoes that boy got on. He could at least spit shine them. Then you wonder why the church is filled with a whole bunch of emaciated people. Because we ain't coming to feast on the word of God. We're coming to talk about folk. We're coming to label folk. We're coming to knock folk down. But I want you to know that ain't why Jesus came.
No.
He didn't come to knock folk down. He didn't come to put us in categories. When he went to the cross, he stretched his arms wide. And when he stretched his arms wide, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what. Don't you know when Jesus came and died for us, it's so that you and I could have life? And have it more abundantly. How do we know that? Because early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand, with the keys of hell and death and the grave, to let us know that the enemy can't bind us up no more. The Lord has set us free, and whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. Go on and give somebody a high five. Give me something. There it is. Now look at him and say, I'm free. And if you are free, you're going to make it your business to come to the
table.
And you're going to what?
Eat.
And what?
Drink. That's right.
And you know why we can do that? Because we're blessed. And since we're blessed, the Lord's going to fill us. Because we said that we hunger and thirst after righteousness. And if, when what we say, when we say righteousness, what that means is that, Lord, I want to be in a right relationship with you. And in order to be in a right relationship with the Lord, you must know what his word says.
That's right.
If you don't know his word, that's how right. You going to be right with the Lord?
Preach, brother. Preach.
Oh, Lord, I'm going to back up over here. I might have a little more help this way. I want you to understand, God wants you and I to be right with him. Now, does right mean that we're going to cross all of our T's and dot all our I's? Are we going to still make a mistake here and there? But do we wallow in the mistake? Do we make excuses for our mistakes? We just confess our sins. And as we confess our mistakes, he's faithful and just and will forgive us of all unrighteousness. You see, the Lord doesn't want you to stay stuck in yesterday. He don't want none of us to be stuck in our sins. Jesus came to unstick us. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
are you stuck?
Are you stuck?
None of us need to be stuck. I don't care how hard or how tough it is. You know, have you ever played with crazy glue? You know, when I was a kid, you know, we do some crazy stuff. You know, we'd take the glue and put it on our fingers. And then what would happen? Your fingers would all of a sudden what? And then all of a sudden you got to go tell somebody. Then my mother would just go and get the fingernail polish remover. She would pour it up in there. And next thing you know, what would happen? Don't you know the same thing happens with the blood of Jesus? Don't you know that we were stuck in sin? We thought we couldn't get loose. But don't you know when you called on the name of Jesus and you gave your life to him, don't you know that blood came and it unstuck you to whatever was trying to keep you down? That's how come whenever the people of God come into God's house, we don't come here and sit down and shut up, because we realize that we are no longer stuck. We have been set free. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody glad you ain't stuck no more? Anybody glad the Lord has did it for you? You ought to praise him. You ought to thank him. He's brought you a mighty long way. I tell you, I ain't stuck no more. Why? Because I have a desire. A desire to be better today than what I was on yesterday.
Yeah.
Why? Because I've come in to the table and I'm going to feast on all that the Lord has for me. But you know the beauty is? The Lord realized we can't get it all in one setting. So you got to keep on coming back. And when you do that, you'll find your worship experience to be a whole lot different. Because you have a desire to be the best that you can be. You find your prayer life being a whole lot different because you have a desire to be a better child of God. You'll find yourself loving on folk who hate on you because what you used to do is wonder why they don't like you and get mad at them because they mad at you. But now that you have a desire to be who you can be with Christ, the Lord now has opened your eyes. So when you look at those folk that don't like you, what you do is you see them through the eyes of Christ and you find yourself praying for them. Somebody gonna work with them. Why? Because everything I need is on and it's left up to me to feast upon the word so that I can be full. Because the Lord has blessed me. Because I'm seeking him. I'm hungering. I have a hunger and a thirst for his righteousness. And as I continue to look, the Lord will fill me. So my brothers and my sisters, there is no excuse for any of us to ever leave the house of God.
That's right.
Without our tanks being on F.
That's right.
Because you know, in your car, the one thing you don't ever like doing is just filling it halfway. Because if you fill it halfway, Brother Whitehead, what's going to happen? You got to come back a whole lot sooner. But when you fill it up to the brim, until you can't put no more in there, you can go a little ways on it. Amen? Amen. But I want you to know you're going to go back and fill it again. But we just thank God that we, whenever we come into God's house, we want to be filled to overflowing.
That's right.
We want to be filled that is running in our saucer. And when we do that, then we allow the Lord to have his way in us. And once we now get back on empty, we can't wait for next Sunday to come. We can't wait for Wednesday to come, because we know we're going back because we have a desire to be filled, and the Lord is going to bless us. I'm done. I just want you to know today. I want you to understand today. God loves you. God loves you. There are some folk who come close to the table and almost reach out to grab something on the table. But they're looking like, Lord, you don't know what I did last night. Lord, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be saved, but I don't think I can deserve to eat from your table today. Because, somebody made me mad and I cussed them out last night. Somebody dropped their wallet and I took the money out before I gave it back. I've been gossiping about folk, Lord. I ain't doing right. I'm supposed to be loving folk, but I'm hating on people. So, Lord, I can't eat from this table. And the more that you stop eating, the more you revert back rather than move forward. We don't need no more hellions in the church. We need some more saints of God in the church. And if you look at too many folk who try to act like they're perfect, they ain't perfect. But they're making you think they are perfect. And you measure yourself up against them. So, and since you do, you feel that I can't touch nothing on the, because I ain't like them. You see, but you don't realize they just like you. They ain't going to the table. They say, Lord, I'm up here acting like I'm all this in a bag of chips and a shake and two sodas on the side, but I really don't deserve to be there either. But hallelujah! But I still ain't eating from the.
That's right.
Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
So.
So.
I know you made some mistakes. So. I know you're doing this and doing that. So. Jesus, when he came, you know they got mad at him because he was hanging out with the prostitutes and the drunkards. Those were the folk who felt that they could not come to the
table.
But you know what Jesus did? He took the table to them. Because he is the table. He is our all in all. And what we have to learn to do is realize that the Lord loves me. He died for me just the way I am. And when I come to him, I might not have crossed all my I's, crossed all my T's and dotted all my I's, but I can still come. Because the more I come, Mother Austin, I'm going to be better today than what I was on yesterday. But if I never come to the table and eat from it, I can sure enough know for a fact I will not change. You want to change? The Lord has brought the table to you. But now you got to eat it. You don't deserve it. Guess who else doesn't deserve it? Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We got to let the perfect church, perfect people in the church. I can't even get it out of my mouth right. We need to let the perfect people in the church know we ain't perfect.
That's right. That's right.
But we're striving every day
yeah.
to be better than what we were on.
That's right.
So you might not like how I do this or do that. That's all right. I'm still a work in progress. You don't like what I do right now. You should have saw me, child, about a year or so ago. Because if you think I'm a mess right now, you should have saw me then. But I thank God that he each and every day is cleaning something off my table, fixing me up, healing my body, getting my mind right. Why? Because I have a desire to be in a right relationship with him. So I say to you today, my brother, I say to you today, my sister, are you hungry because you don't know Jesus? Are you finding yourself thirsty and you keep drinking what the world has? You keep eating what the world has. And the more you do, the worse you feel.
That's right.
I'm here to tell you today, there is another answer. His name is Jesus. The lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He has everything that you need. All you got to do is come to him and watch what he'll give you. And I know that you might not think you don't deserve it, but ain't there one person in here today that deserves the blessings of God? Because all of our righteousness is like filthy rags in his presence. So, Lord, I want them to know today you love them. So if you're here this day and you have not gave your life to Christ, it's time for you to come. It's time for you to come to Jesus, because Jesus wants to bring the table to you. Let us all rise to our feet. Who am I talking to right now? Who needs Christ in their life? Who is hungry right now? Who's thirsty right now to the point where you have barely any strength? And you know what you want to say? The heck with it all. But you ain't using the word heck.
Oh, yes.
But I'm here to tell you, there's an answer. And his name is Jesus.
Yes.
He loves you. And you know how he loves you? He doesn't say fix it. He doesn't say dress it up. He says come just the way you are.